Welcome to the Search Stories UK FAQ podcast on disaster recovery for small and medium-sized businesses. My name's Anthony Adshead, Bureau Chief for Search Stories UK. Today's speaker is Simon Johnson, Data Recovery Practice Lead with Glasshouse Technologies UK. There are three questions in today's podcast. The first question is, what are the key options open to SMEs who want disaster recovery provision?
There are a number of key DR options available to SMEs which go beyond the traditional nightly backups and shipping a tape off site to either a third party for holding or a secondary site affiliated with a company. These really start off with managing and running DR in-house, so full management and delivery of DR services in-house. And we see this typically with a secondary site linked via either IP or fiber channel communication networks, and backups running cross-site or some sort of replication occurring across the IT infrastructure stack at either the host database or storage layer or a combination of those. So that's the first opportunity there for DR to be run in-house. There's then, for the second option, the opportunity to rent or lease data center space from a hosting provider, but retain the management of that infrastructure internally. And these are commonly referred to in the marketplace as colocation sites. In this option, IT still owns and manages the IT assets and infrastructure, but leases the data center space, mechanics and engineering and facilities against the commercial model that's been agreed. Renting the space may be all the organization requires to enable their DR capability and their DR service, and this is particularly the case in organizations that are heavily virtualized already. Many hosting providers are beginning to offer ancillary services around this that begin to approach capabilities offered by full service providers. As we look at the third option, this is where we move into those full service providers. And the organization or the SME is continuing to rent or lease data center space, but this is in a facilitated environment where the hosting provider has contractual management terms and service level agreements in place with the organization. And these can either be, depending on the criticality of your applications and your business, offered in the form of cold, warm, or hot standby sites. Cold being you have an SLA around a shipping agreement, so the infrastructure will be in place against a certain time metric. Warm is the infrastructure is in place and it's ready to have the most recent data loaded up onto it, ready for your recoverability. And hot standby is where you're really running an active application or set of data, and you can switch over and run production services from there very quickly. And these run right through to full managed DR service from third parties and vendors. Finally, we're seeing a trend in the marketplace moving towards, or certainly a lot of interest, in software as a service and cloud services around DR. And this is where service providers are offering the full management and optionally ownership of infrastructure around delivering DR as a service based on a utility model. So people are familiar with cloud from a storage perspective, from a software perspective, and this is the extension of those service capabilities into disaster recovery, where you agree your SLAs and you agree your requirements, and then you pay for this against an agreed utility metric. So there are some options there for SMEs around DR provision.
Excellent. Thanks, Simon. The next question is, what are the benefits and challenges of developing in-house disaster recovery provision?
The developing in-house DR provision has very similar benefits and challenges to it. From a benefits perspective, the knowledge around your applications, your organizations, is held in-house. The people who understand those applications and the data that resides in the criticality of it are your operations staff. So they are best skilled to rebuild systems, and they best understand the systems and the people who use them and how they use them. You retain as part of that the DR skills to maintain and control the organization effectively internally. You don't have any dependency through managing internally on third parties, so you retain the skills in-house. As part of this, you have an element of control over the costs, and you can certainly maintain the data integrity. Going in-house, you don't have any third parties accessing your data. Some of that data could be highly sensitive, and there may be connotations from a public relations or legal perspective around having third-party hosting centers accessing or having access or hosting that data in their data centers. There's the potential when managing DR in-house to have great flexibility to enable you to change the service levels you have around your application and the DR service levels in accordance with the criticality those applications represent to the business. As business models grow and they change, so does the flex and criticality of applications move with that. And to manage that internally gives you the model that means you can change your application service levels as your business grows. This also provides flexibility around the infrastructure that you can deploy to provision for your DR service. And as they mature and as offerings become embedded within the organization, you can leverage these on a per project basis or a per organization basis internally. And DR will evolve as your company will evolve. And during DR testing, the organization internally will learn a huge amount about its applications, about its data and its infrastructure. And those benefits will propagate through to BAU, so a benefit standard BAU operations also. The challenges mirror the benefits, really. Maintaining those skill sets for internal DR is a huge challenge. DR is a very specific set of skills. They're different in some of the aspects to BAU activities, and it's a huge challenge for operational staff to retain those skills if they're only testing or using them once every quarter, or once every 6 months or annually, depending on your testing cycles for DR. The cost of maintaining DR infrastructure and potentially a second DR type can be significant for what is ultimately an insurance policy that you hope you won't have to use. Testing DR is hugely complex, if you manage it in-house. Where do you test it? How do you test it? You need to isolate your environment and make sure you have your skilled staff around to test the DR service and DR recoverability. So that's both intensive in terms of time and expense. And you're taking those staff away from BAU activities, so someone then needs to backfill those to make sure the operation continues. There's a huge challenge internally to understand business impact analysis and the criticality and interdependency around your applications. And to maintain this in a dynamic environment is a big challenge when managing DR internally. And finally, it's a huge challenge to know what DR scenarios you're protecting yourselves against. Is it flood, quarantine zones, malicious corruption? There are lots of DR scenarios to protect against, and to manage it internally, you need to be very clear about what those are so you can provision a suitable DR service against those. So in conclusion, there are many advantages and disadvantages for the provision of DR service internally.
Excellent. Thanks, Simon. Final question is, what are the benefits and challenges for SMEs of using service providers for disaster recovery?
A major attraction of outsourcing any kind of service is cost reduction. And service providers and software as a service can offer great flexibility around capacity and provisioning. So if you're not in a situation where you can capacity plan or forecast that well, or you don't feel you have the information, you have huge flexibility with the models that are provided around it to keep your costs minimal and pay on a per utility or per use model. Building a DR capability has historically been a very expensive proposition with significant investments in capital equipment such as servers, storage, bandwidth, and even secondary data centers. So all those components that go into delivering the functional and physical capability of delivering DR. While technologies like virtualization have reduced these upfront costs and certainly reduced a lot of complexity around delivering DR, the outsource models can take further advantage of these to further potentially lower its costs. You have benefits where the capital outlay that has traditionally been required to provide the infrastructure I talked about can now be moved into an operational budget and charged as an OPEX line against your expenditure. So you can move your budgets around, which is highly beneficial to some organizations. You reduce the internal skills requirements and the burden that it puts on internal skills to maintain their DR skills and capabilities. And you can leverage in these service provider models and software and service models third-party expertise. So people who are regularly working with DR scenarios, be in live or test environments, and can bring that expertise to your environment as and when you need it. And as I said, you can reduce the downside of capacity planning by moving to a utility model. So you're not so tied into the accuracy of forecasting, but that model, if correctly negotiated, can flex as your business demands for it. The challenges really with moving to service providers is understanding what you need from a DR scenario and how much you want to pay for it. And to do that, you really need to understand what it costs today to deliver DR, if indeed you are delivering DR as a service, and what service levels your applications need to match to. So you need to have a good understanding of a business impact analysis and your application interdependency groups to understand when you go and have a conversation with the service provider and the vendor that offer it, what are you asking for? So what are the RTOs and RPOs that exist around there? What DR scenarios are you protecting from? There's no point in looking at vendors or service providers who sit within a location that could be impacted by the same DR scenarios you're trying to protect yourself from. You need to understand, as a key challenge, where you can work into creative mode for more than a limited amount of time. So how quickly do you need to invoke DR? And you need to be very well tied into your service provider to ensure they understand how your business model operates and the requirements that you have. What type of outsourcing agreement are you trying to negotiate? Do you want total third-party main support, or do you want to retain some involvement internally also? What locations interest you? What services do you expect from the vendors to provide? And what are the risks associated with outsourcing your DR service and providing access to data? Do you have certain regulation or compliance or data integrity issues that mean that there's complications around that? So these are all challenges in understanding the nature of a DR service that you need to have and how much you want to pay for it to ascertain whether outsourcing of the services is feasible or not. From that, you then need to understand which vendors are actually qualified. There are lots of people offering DR as a service within cloud or software as a service. You need to understand which are right for your organization and which actually can deliver the capability they say they can. So in conclusion, SMEs are primed to take advantage of service providers or software as a service for DR. However, to ensure this is a success, they need to be very clear of their requirements and internal delivery costs before evaluating third-party offerings. Get this planning right, and you can have a highly beneficial outsourced or provided DR service. Get it wrong, and you'll find yourself tied into a contract and overpaying for a misaligned service that you can't necessarily get out of immediately.
Thank you very much, Simon. That's the end of this Search Storage UK podcast.